Welcome to the Launch Plan Podcast, and I'm your host, Karthik. Launching a business or products online is not easy, but that's what we enjoy doing as solopreneurs and small business owners. We may not be successful every time, but success isn't what defines us. We learn, and that's why we keep showing up every single day to do what we love doing, to learn, to make a difference to our clients, and of course, make more money. And on this show, we help you do that. We help you build a rock solid base so you can launch successfully and repeat it every single time. And we do that by helping you master the four areas of your business: your market, your message, your monetization, and your alliances. Market is all about your customers and clients and how well you understand them. The message is how well your market understands what you offer. Monetization is about how well you are able to turn your market awareness and messaging into money. And alliances is your ecosystem and how you build relationships with your clients, partners, and vendors. Grab your launch goodies and a 90-day plan at designyourthinking.com/plan and sit back, because we are just getting started. Let's now get down to business. Hey, it's me, Karthik, and in today's episode, I'm excited to bring the second interview in the season. This is a longer interview, it goes on for about 30 minutes, so I want to keep my talk to the minimum, but not before I told you about what you can expect. In this conversation, you will learn how to ace the podcast guesting space. I'm speaking with my friend Alex Sanfilippo. He's the founder of podpros.com and the host of Podcasting Made Simple podcast. At Podpros, they are creating a whole lot of solutions for podcasters, but notably a tool called PodMatch. It's a service that matches podcast guests to podcast hosts. Now, we'll talk about that, of course, in the interview, but for the most part, it's going to be Alex sharing some invaluable pieces of wisdom to help you get on podcasts as a guest. So without further ado, let's cut straight into this conversation. Hey, Alex, welcome to the Launch Plan Podcast. So excited to have you in. Without further ado, let's get started here. Can you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and your background as to how you got into doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, sure thing. Karthik, thank you so much for having me. I love the Launch Plan. I've been enjoying the show, so I'm excited to be here. So my background, although I'm full-time, everything I do is podcasting at this point, but I didn't start that way. And I'll skip some of the details from years back, but I did 15 years in the aerospace industry. And before you think that was like a really crazy thing, I was not an astronaut, was not a skydiver, and I was not a fighter pilot. So I always got to give those disclaimers to people like, ooh, aerospace. We focus below the atmosphere and we are a parts manufacturer.
Interesting.
And I ran a commercial operations division, which means I sat behind a computer, loved the job, but I worked my way up from over that 15-year period to the executive level. So at one point, kind of my prime, if you will, toward the end, I was running five departments within the organization, reporting directly to the CEO on that executive team. And it was a really cool thing. But the company ended up going public. So in that 15-year period, it went from like a mid-size company to becoming a multi-billion dollar organization that was publicly traded, like all the whole thing, right? And I just realized during that transition that I maybe had a little bit more entrepreneur inside me than I realized. And I was just able to flex those muscles when it was a smaller company.
Right.
So I could actually do things that would like, felt like I was being an entrepreneur, like making big decisions. And then it went from, now there's a board you got to please, and now you have to wait 6 months before you can implement something. Anyway, I'm rambling on here, but the point is, I hit a point where I was like, you know what? I got to leave, I think. And to do that, I started a podcast because I was like, I need to learn how to become an entrepreneur so I can actually leave a 9-to-5 job. And me and my lightning fast mind decided if I interview people who had successfully left a 9-to-5 job to become a full-time entrepreneur, maybe I can learn from them as well.
Right.
And as we both know, podcasting can be free coaching, right? At times. So so I brought people on to do that. And here's the thing. I two things happened. One, I learned how to become an entrepreneur. And since then have, of course, had plenty of failures, but some successes as well. And I'm a full-time entrepreneur today.
Right.
But two, I realized I love the podcasting industry. And that's where I wanted to focus. So that's what's brought me into what I'm doing today. And Karthik, I have to say, like, I love what I do as an entrepreneur, and I love what I do as a podcaster. So really excited again to be here today. And that's kind of my
background. I get it. I get that spirit behind what you're saying, which is liking podcasting and entrepreneurship. And I've had a very similar background like you. Which year was this when you started your podcast?
Let's put it this way. I started it early 2019, but I was planning for a long time before that, probably too long. So 2018 at some point is when I like started to get my feet wet and testing the waters a little bit. But 2019 was like an official launch date.
Interesting. So you start the podcast in 2019. And what was in your mind? There were so many podcasts out there and people are starting podcasts. I'm wondering, what was your formula to starting a business apart from free coaching? What was that you're looking for? Or rather, in hindsight, how do you think that podcast helped you become an entrepreneur?
Really, from like one, again, it helped me find my lane. It made me realize I like podcasting because yes, there were a lot of podcasts then. There's obviously a lot more now. It really blew up over 2020, 2021. We saw podcasting really climb, but there still was a lot, but everyone was so kind. And so that's what attracted me to the industry. But what helped me become an entrepreneur was really listening to all these guests I was bringing on. And for me, I remained curious. And that podcast at that point was called Creating a Brand. Right. And so it was just about like that whole concept, right? And I can say this, that show was very successful. It did very well when you compare it to the average podcast out there. And I was a guy with literally I was a corporate guy. So I had like no social presence, no audience, right? And it grew really fast and did really well. And I think it's because I just stayed curious. Like I wasn't trying to be somebody I wasn't. I was just listening, being like, how can I do what you've done? And throughout that, I just really feel that I learned like listening. Okay, this is the first step I need to take if I want to become an entrepreneur. Okay, here's how I validate the problem that I think I found. Here's how I create a solution in the proper way without spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right. So throughout it was just really a journey for me that I went on, and I just brought the listeners with me. So it was kind of like a really fun experience overall.
It's really interesting. And you're saying curiosity. And I think that's the same thing that motivated me when I started my podcast in 2016. But along the way, one of the biggest struggles I had, and I think you and I are very different in terms of personalities. You know, I'm a classic introvert, but I have this tendency to become an extrovert when I start to speak to people. That's something I realized only in hindsight, right? I mean, looking back, I realized this is one way that I change myself. I'm not saying necessarily every introvert can do this, but you are a self-proclaimed extrovert, right? You just go out and talk to people. You find it comfortable. I'm wondering, like, what were the biggest challenges you had in the earliest days of being behind the mic? I'm not even saying starting a podcast, right? How did it feel behind the mic?
At first, really unnatural. I mean, I had some experience speaking in boardrooms and things like that. But as soon as you put a microphone in front of me and a camera, with all things I was uncomfortable with from a tech standpoint, and still this day, I'll openly admit, like the tech side of things still always freaks me out, because you and I both know, like, you never know if the recording software is going to work, if your mic is just going to cut out one day. Like, there's all these variables. Right. And early on, it bothered me. And I'd actually say it negatively affected my ability to be present in the interview. Mm. I do think I'm a good listener, like an active listener. Again, I was curious, like I said, so those are good things to be involved. But in the back of my mind, I was like, is this mic working? Is this happening? Like, is my internet just going to cut out? Because for some reason, sometimes, even though I have like the top tier internet you can buy, it still cuts out sometimes, right? So I think that all those things really bothered me. The other thing would be just making sure that I was doing a good job for my listenership.
Right.
Because I knew for me, I was learning, but I was like, is this valuable for the people who are going to be listening to it? And those two things, I do believe, probably especially initially, held me back a little bit. And I'm sure if you go back and you can, all that is still available. You can go back and listen to some of my first episodes and content. Right. And make sure you listen to some of the later ones too, because I did improve over time. But initially, you can definitely hear maybe the lack of experience and some of the fear that was involved in it, feeling like an imposter kind of stepping in. Those things were all played a role, especially early
on. It's interesting. You had some really brilliant guests. Of course, Seth Godin, who many of us in marketing world love what he does. You talked about listeners. I'm wondering, how has this idea of having listeners changed from when you started in 2019 to now in 2022?
Yeah, for me, I've always lived by the same thing. This is probably not going to, maybe it'll speak to some people that are listening, but it's not conventional wisdom. And I always just say, seek to be a person of value, not a person of profit. And I translate that into everything, including download numbers, but also do for one what you wish you could do for all. And so for me, at the end of the day, if I hear from one person that an episode I released helped them, at the end of the day, sure, my podcast had a lot of downloads, but like I didn't necessarily care about that. If I was really helping that one person, then it was worth my time. I learned, they learned. Hopefully the guest had a good experience. Right. And that to me was a win, because I wasn't trying to become like a celebrity podcaster or get rich through podcasting specifically, right? Like at that point, I was just trying to add some value. Right. And so again, keeping that mindset really helped me early on. And I've just kept that into everything I'm doing. Like now being a podcast service provider, not just a podcast host, I have the same mentality. Hey, we're going to trust who we're working with today, and we are going to do our best to support them. And hopefully they'll help spread the word. And again, maybe that's not the most sound business advice, but it is what's worked really well for us. And we're just taking care of who's trusting us with their time and their wallets. And when we do that, we find that more people tend to just show up.
Right. And I kind of tend to agree with that a lot, because I realize one email coming in from one person who listened to your show, that means so much when you get started with podcasting, right? But anyways, one thing that I really wanted to ask you is your approach to finding and getting audience listen to you. How did you go about getting listeners back in 2019, Alex?
Yeah, so at first I had no clue, let's put it that way. And I came from a corporate background, right? So like the people that I knew weren't going to be my, I couldn't just text all my friends and be like, hey, listen to this, because most of them didn't fall into the right category. They're like, this is not what I want in life, right? So initially it was some outreach just to like expand my network more or less, right? So I want to become an entrepreneur. I started getting in some entrepreneurial circles. I started joining some groups, both in person and online, which obviously soon after transitioned to all online. But I started doing that, and that helped me a lot. And then I just started collaborating with other podcast hosts, asking them, hey, anything we can do to serve people together. And so it came very natural. I wasn't doing like paid ads or anything like that. It was more or less me just talking to people that I was meeting and saying, hey, would you check this out? And if you like it, could you leave a review? Like, so I know what it says and I can share that. And then also going, so online and offline doing that, but also other podcast hosts being like, hey, can I jump on your show? Or can we somehow together find a way to do some sort of webinar or something like that? What really worked well for me though was, and I think we're going to get into this today, but podcast guesting really worked well for me to grow my audience. And now that really is the primary driver for external growth of my business as well.
No, it's interesting. You know, the biggest challenge I had was pitching people. As an introvert, that was the biggest thing, right? Even writing an email, definitely nobody saw my face. But the fact that someone is going to read what I'm about to send, I mean, I had butterflies in my stomach when I thought about this idea of doing it, right?
Right.
So I did not become a guest on anybody's podcast. But of course, over a period in time, this has changed and things have started to look a lot different, even from the way I look at myself. So it's an imposter thing. Alex, I think the challenge with pitching somebody is this idea of, or maybe it's just a made up idea and that we know this now, is that person is going to say, no, I'm not interested in you, right? Can you talk about this whole idea of being rejected, and how did you deal with it then, and how are you dealing with today, and how you recommend people deal with it too?
Yeah, I've never been asked this question before, and I love it because it's what holds most of us back from even asking, like you said. And like not just the launch plan, but also, Karthik, everything that you've done, like you are a great guest because you've honed in on this craft. I mean, someone doing podcasting since 2016, I always say podcasting years are like dog years. Yeah. So that's a lot of years to be like involved in podcasting. So at this point, you understand marketing, you understand podcasting, like, yeah, you're an ideal guest. But still to this day, same with me, we still have this sense of like not wanting to be rejected. Yes. Which I believe is just maybe part of the human condition. Like we want to be accepted, right? Like there's something at our core that tells us, I want to feel loved and involved, right? And here's the thing, that there's a couple things that I say to this, because I reach out to people and I do get rejected, right? Like not everyone's saying, yes, 100% Alex, I'll take you on the show. The first thing is, if you never ask, you never give anyone the chance to say yes.
Right.
So you might be doing a disservice by not even asking in the first place. But if you hear no, there's still plenty of other shows out there. And also, it's not a direct reflection to you. You should actually be thankful, because in many cases, it's a reflection on who they believe their audience is and who will serve their audience. So when someone tells me no, I'm thankful, because that means they don't think I'm a good guest for their audience, which means I'm wasting their time and my time. And then a bunch of people who don't want to hear me talk, right? Like it's almost like they're saving you
from
that, which is a total mindset shift. And even though you might feel like I'd be perfect for this, the host at the end of the day, their job, every podcast host, their job is to protect their audience. Right. They are the wall between you and the people that are going to hear it. And their job is to make sure it's absolutely 100% the best person to speak to them. Now, if somebody's not like a person of value and they're like, well, if you pay me, I'll let you on. That's in my mind, usually a little bit of a red flag because it's like, man, do you really care about your audience? You just care about the money. Like if I'm a terrible guest, will you still let me on if I pay you? Mm. Like that's not a good thing, right? So anyway, these are some ideas around rejection that have helped me come to terms with the fact of instead of being like, oh man, they don't want me, being like, whew, good. I didn't want to be on there if I was the wrong fit anyway, right? And doing it that way. And at the same time, being respectful of whoever rejects you, keeping the relationship going if you can, I think is a really important thing. Not saying, well, I'd love to stay in touch and please, can you reconsider later? No, just be like, hey, if you know anyone who might be an ideal guest that I know, let me know. I'd love to make an introduction.
Right.
Taking that a step further turns that person who just rejected you into someone who's now like, you know what? This Alex guy, he actually cares. Maybe I'll bring him on later. Like, it doesn't even need to come back. And if it never happens, fine. But if you made a good connection and help them further what they're doing, they're never going to remember you as the person that, oh, I rejected that guy. They're going to remember that as, man, that's that person that connected me with some really great people.
And I think, you know, I really resonate with that. You know, it leaves a bad taste if you end the entire interaction in a bad way. And I really love it. And I remember when we spoke for the first time, in fact, you're one of the few people who just helped me overcome this idea of pitching because I was pitching at that point. And when you pitched me and every pitch like this, I got my way. I started to feel like, yes, if he can do it, I can do it too. And I think that's so important in the way we look at things. And I really love the way you're talking about rejection here. Alex, I'm wondering, because my audience here are people like solopreneurs who are running small businesses and people who run businesses, then this is completely in hindsight. I remember getting all other kinds of advice in the beginning, but I believe if you have a business, you have all the more reason to have a podcast of your own. And the way I look at it is it's your platform, right? And for me, that was a leverage that I had that I could, you know, connect with bigger people with bigger audiences and sometimes even start a fresh new relationship from a business perspective. How has your podcasting journey, and I know you stopped that podcast, you moved on to another podcast, which we'll talk about. But I think I'm wondering how you have leveraged your podcast to grow your business.
Yeah, you know, so creating a brand was that original one, right? And what I did is I just changed the name on the feed. So the first 158 episodes, I think I'm getting that right. First 158 episodes of that podcast, if you go listen, it'll say you're listening to the Creating a Brand podcast, even though it's now called Podcasting Made Simple. Because I just continued the same feed. It had good traction. I asked a lot of people if I should do that. And that was like everyone had their own idea. I'm like, you know what? I don't want two feeds. I'm going to keep one. Maybe it was the right idea, maybe not. But regardless, so we've rebranded. And I did that because it needed to continue to feed my business. So where I was originally was figuring out how to build a business, how to create a brand, right? Like that's literally what I was doing. Once that was figured out and I found my niche, my focus, it was time to make the podcast focus like that. And actually, I want to call out a prior episode of The Launch Plan. You talked with Jake Lang, I think was his name. And it was specifically about building an online course and niching that down. But that the idea of niching in general like was explained really well by you and Jake in that episode. And I highly recommend everyone go back and find that one and listen to it because it's important to do with your show as well. You see, I didn't start off with a really general show. Like I was figuring out how to leave a 9-to-5 to become an entrepreneur. And now I'm helping people become a better podcast guest and podcast host because it's focused. It's in the niche that I'm in. And who knows in 5 years from now, like I imagine I'm doing this forever. Right. We always want to think that, right? But like, let's just say I get into something totally different. I'll probably change the show again and get it more and more focused to what I'm doing at that point. And I think that it's important to keep it with where you are because it is a great lead magnet. Like you can bring on people that are just ideal. So we mentioned Seth Godin. Bring him on when it was called Creating a Brand to learn how to market yourself better was ideal. And now Seth Godin is kind of maybe a bad example because I feel like he could talk about anything and it'd be valuable, right? But like now I'm specifically bringing on podcast hosts and guests that are really experienced to learn how to further that craft on either side of the mic. So you see, I'm just bringing on those right people. I'm building a relationship with them. At the end of the day, podcasting for most people, if you've not done thousands of interviews, it is a meaningful experience. Mm. And that is what the basis of all friendship and relationship is based on, meaningful experience. Right. So when you have an exchange like we're having right now, we are now primed to potentially do more work together or find more ways to serve together. Right. And so I think that that's the big benefit for small business owners, small marketers, anybody like that, to have a show, because they can bring on the people that they say, you know what, I want to work with this person, right, and let's have this meaningful experience. So now we're primed to do more together because we have good synergy, right? Or maybe the opposite. You get on a show together, it's a disaster. Then you're like, we shouldn't work together anyway, right? But the majority of the time, I find that people who work together, people who have done interviews together, they've done some form of media together, because again, it's that meaningful experience.
Yeah, I really like how you put it, the meaningful experience. And I think it's so important to build a relationship first before you start doing business with someone. And I really love that idea. And I think it's because we started podcasts. Both of us have a similar way of approaching business here. I wouldn't say it's the same, but then very similar. And I think that's why it makes me feel that way. I'm wondering at this point, right? I mean, Alex, you have a new business, which I want to talk about really, because I think it's so relevant to this conversation. But I think what I really would like for you to comment on is how do you look at audience building today when it comes to a podcast? Because one of the biggest questions I get asked every single time, even just 2 weeks ago, I was talking to a bunch of college students, our 20s or early 20s, who are trying to start podcasts. And they were asking me how to get more people to listen to my show. And I was telling them, you just need your friends to listen to your show to begin with. And then slowly things will pick up speed. So how do you look at audience building today? And what is your quick advice for people who are wanting to build an audience for their brand new show? They have absolutely nothing else, no history online. They just started a podcast. What's your advice?
Yeah, I have a lot of opinions on this, Karthik. So I'm going to try to breeze through it real quick. But something recently that was said by Adam Curry, which is the guy who actually created podcasting for Apple. So going way back, I heard him on an interview. And someone said, hey, how do you, like, it was just a question from, like, I don't know if it was the audience or something. They said, how do you get more downloads on your show? And he used a lot of, he has a mouth that I would not repeat most of the words he said. So he basically cussed the guy out and then said, why does that matter? He goes, did people still seriously care about downloads? And he goes, I'm not answering that question. And then moved on to the next one. And I found that very interesting when I dove into more of like, okay, why did he say that? It's for the same reason that I actually agree with. We've been primed by social media to be addicted to big numbers. Like, you want to see more likes, you want to see more comments, you want to see more engagement, right? Like, you want all of that. But at the end of the day, podcasting is a different thing. Podcasting is not quickly scrolling while you're sitting on the couch or just seeing a red light or wherever people check their phone while they're driving on the highway. Who knows, right? Like, people are always checking their phone and be like, but it's not that same thing. What it is it's the same as people sitting in seats listening to you, which in my mind, I'm not downplaying the power of social media, but I do find that to be much more powerful. If I've got a room with even 10 people in it that are listening to me, hearing what I have to say and want to be there, that's more powerful than 1,000 people scrolling past me. And again, I'm not downplaying social media. It has its place, but it's nothing in comparison to the power of podcasting. And it's not apples for apples. You cannot compare the two. So many of us, we want to say, oh, I want the big download numbers. I need a big show. The truth is you don't. What you need is just the absolute right people to listen to it. They're going to take action. Would you rather have 10 paying customers or 10,000 people who don't really care what you have to say, who are never going to send you any money, right? Like, there's a big, would rather have the 100, right? Or so in my mind, what we need to be thinking about is the actual engagement behind it. And engagement can be tracked by who's reaching out, who you have in conversation with. Are you generating leads with your podcast? If I've only got 100 people listening, but 90% of them are converting into some sort of customer or getting into my funnels or whatever it might be, that's huge. I would rather have that than 1,000 people listening with 0% engagement of me hearing from these people. And so I always recommend, like, don't get caught up by the numbers. Get caught up by what's happening with the numbers that you do have. And I think that that's the most powerful thing you can do in podcasting. So when you first get started, the best thing you can do is not join huge Facebook groups and start spamming and being like, new episode out, check it out. No, the best thing you can do to grow your audience is find somebody. Like, we live in a social media driven world. So check there, go to in-person events if you do have that option. But the truth is, just find one person. You're like, you know what? This person would like my show because I can read by this comment. They said that. Start messaging them. Be like, hey, I really liked your comment. That's something that I'm really focused on. Notice I said, don't send them the link, right? Don't send them the link right away. Cause most people are just like, you're basically asking for someone to marry you before you even buy them a drink, right? Like, you need to do things in the proper order, build a relationship and message that person and have a conversation. Finally, when the time's right, be like, hey, I actually did a podcast episode about this. I think it might be helpful for you. Or, hey, you seem to really know this space well. Could you tell me if you like this podcast episode I did? If you build the relationship first and you do this every single day, you're going to earn a real listener that you're engaged with, but also just do one a day. That would be 365 people listening to every podcast episode. If you, after 1 year, that would put you in the top 10% of all podcasts from a size standpoint. And so many people will go years of just spamming their link out to right. everybody. Check it out, read it, watch it, listen to it, right? And a year later, they still have nobody listening. They're like, oh, this thing isn't working. But it's because we're not disciplined enough to do the hard work of really honing in who should be listening right. and stop focusing on the giant numbers. Focus on the one person instead of the many. And I find that's a good way to consistently grow your show a little bit over time, but it always seems to work better and leads to good engagement. Sorry, Karthik, I just shared a lot. So I'm going to pass it back over to you.
I think that was the two questions that you, I'm tempted to call them as pickup lines, but definitely they aren't pickup lines. They're pickup questions, but then they are really good questions. And it's again, leading with value and giving value and then getting it back. Love that. Alex, I know, we just talked about it. You don't need millions of listeners. You just need one listener. And we both are so big, such big proponents of podcasting that we recommend people start podcasts, especially if you have a business. Let's assume for a moment, at least one person, the person who's listening to us right now, has decided to do it. And I understand, you know, start creating content can be a nightmare to begin with. And for me, that's the reason I started it, getting to talk to people, you know, getting them to give me advice and share that with the world, which obviously takes us to the next step, which is getting out to people and finding meaningful people to be on a podcast. And for a long time, this was a challenge. And then came a bunch of other solutions out there, people trying to solve this. There are still people who are doing this as a concierge service, but you started something just a couple of years ago, and I really love it. I'm a user of it. It's called PodMatch. Can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to do something like it's a big game to play. I know you're so committed, but why put all your eggs in one basket?
Yeah, you know, thanks for bringing that up. One thing I'll say is I didn't realize how much I was getting into. I think I knew how to become an entrepreneur, but I didn't realize, like, I wasn't specifically SaaS. So software as a service, and that's, I'll get into what that is in just a second. Like, that's what we built. But I built a two avatar system, which everyone now I realize says, do not build a two avatar system. Like, it's a headache. You won't be able to like handle it. Anyway, it was the first thing I bit off and ended up working really well. But PodMatch, to give you like a big, anyone who's listening to it doesn't know what it is, a big overview of it. It's a automatic service that will connect podcast guest and host for interviews. Mm-hmm. And it's based off of 39 different pieces of criteria. So basically everything you like to talk about and everything a host is looking for, it's going to match those things up. To keep it as simple as possible, it works just like a dating app would, but instead of connecting people for dates, it connects people for podcast interviews. And that is simply put what we've done with this. And we've got podcast guests and hosts that are on the system. So again, that's that two avatar right. thing, but it was a problem that I saw early on. So when I decided, you know what, I want to be an entrepreneur and I want to be in podcasting, because what I learned is find an area of passion, get into the community. And the next thing you want to do is ask them what they're struggling with. So from stage, I was speaking at an event early 2020, and there's about 2,000 people in attendance. It was a podcasting event. When I got off stage, anyone who talked to me, I asked them what they were struggling with. And I heard all kinds of things, but 100 people said the same thing. I'm having trouble finding guests for my show, or I'm having trouble finding ideal guests for my show. And so now, I had my area of passion. I got into the community. I found the problem. I went home and created the solution, which just happened to be PodMatch. And the idea was, will this solve the problem people have of finding guests or hosts? And it's interesting because I always thought it was just host having trouble finding guests, but the flip side is just as serious. Right. Guests having trouble finding places to go. So what we created is a system that really solved those two problems for people. And here we are years later with 20 some odd thousand people using the system and just really helping solve that problem for the podcasting space. It helps me a lot. I actually use it every single day, both as a guest and a host, because I'm finding all of my guests through this system as well. So it's been a really just great thing to be part of. And I believe really serving the industry in a great way. And it also serves those business right. owners, like those small marketers and business owners who are like, I want to get out there. I need to be a guest on some shows. This gives them a really like easy, affordable way to make that happen.
No, it's very good. And I've seen this. I mean, I've seen this literally from that. I think you started it around the time I started to use it. And I've seen how it's evolved over time. And I love it. Now, one of the things I know that people can go wrong is give them a tool and say, use it, right? I mean, they can use it the way they want to use it. But having somebody who's created the tool I just want to make sure I don't let people just go and sign up for something and then scratch their head and waste their time and end up leaving it. How do you use, I mean, you said you use it every day. How do you use it as a pro user, as an advanced user today?
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think that one of the issues in software, people are like, here it is, sign up, and then they never hear from anybody again, right? Like, you want people to succeed with it. So I have some thoughts on it. And if you don't mind, I'll just speak of like somebody who's signing up as a guest and looking for shows to be a guest on. Is that right?
If I focus on that side of it? That's the perfect way to start. Yeah.
Cool. Great. So my first thought is like, really put a lot into your profile, because when you're signing up, you have to create your profile. On the guest side, this is in traditional media or PR, this is called a one sheet. And we have a public facing version of it. So like when you're finished with your Podmatch profile, you can send out a public version of it as well. So anybody can see it. It's going to have all the important things that a podcast host is going to ask you for. Your pictures that they're allowed to use, the bio that they can read at the beginning of an episode, a call to action link, more details about you, all of your social media links, some questions you're always ready to be answered, ideas for topics, everything. I mean, it's going to cover all of it. And we spend a lot of time figuring out what everyone is asking for and needing. So that the idea is that you want to exchange 14 emails back and forth to get all this information. And that's what we saw a lot of happening. So you're building out your one sheet. And that is what our system will take and automatically say, okay, here's everything about this person. Here's their expertise. Are there any hosts looking for somebody with a similar expertise? And it'll start matching. So what this does is right when you join, you no longer have to share any of those details. And that's really important, because the way I recommend using Podmatch to succeed is you do the outreach. We get out of life and anything what we put into it. So what many people want to do is they build their profile, they launch, and like, ooh, I'll just sit back and wait and see who reaches out to me. I do not recommend doing that. I recommend doing the outreach, but keeping it short, because someone can already see your profile and see all the details. So you don't need to explain everything that's in the bio.
Nice.
So my advice, make your profile really good. Put your time into it. And then don't wait. Step out, do the outreach. Keep that short. And there's five things that I like to keep in this car thing. If you don't mind, I'll go through those things real quick. Number one, lead with value. So if I'm going to be a guest on someone's podcast, the first thing I do is I listen to it. One, it makes me confirm if I know it's going to be good or not. But two, it gives me opportunity to leave them a review. So I lead with value. The first thing I'm going to say is, hey, Karthik, thanks so much for what you do with this show. I listened to this episode, really enjoyed it. As a matter of fact, I liked it so much I left you a 5-star rating and review on Apple. Here's an attached screenshot of that.
Right.
Now, no matter what, a host is not going to be like, get lost, right? At the very least, you've earned their respect. They're going to likely respond to you, or at least be like, wow, this guy is great. Right. That's really cool. So I tell people, lead with value. And the next thing you want to do is make a meaningful request. I get some pitches from these and booking agencies and stuff like that, that again, are charging tens of thousands of dollars. And their pitches are so terrible. Yeah. Sometimes I don't even know what they want. They don't clearly make a request. And a meaningful request would mean, again, going back to that show, looking at the backlog of episodes and seeing last time they covered a topic that you want to cover, if ever. And so recently I did this, and there's a show that I just got on. I went back 6 years and never found, like literally scrolled through 6 years of their episodes and didn't find one time where they talked about what I wanted to cover. Wow. And I just said, hey, I noticed in the last 6 years, at least, I couldn't scroll past that, but at least that time you have not covered this topic. I would love to be the guy to come on your podcast to talk about this.
Nice.
That is a meaningful request that shows I did my time to make sure, one, I think it's relevant, but two, it hasn't been recently talked about. The next thing is to offer credibility. Now, remember, your profile exists, so you don't need to write out all your credentials. Right. A way to offer credibility would be for me to look at that past guest log or go to their social media and see what friends we have in common and basically say, oh, okay, look, this person also knows someone I had on my show. Hey, I've also had Brant Penvidik on my podcast, and I've been on his as well. And we hit it off really well. You can ask him if I'm legit. Like, doing that is worth more than any credential you have, or how many times you've spoken, or how successful you are. If you know somebody that they know, you just broke that barrier completely. And the next thing I'll say here is to mention that you'll share the episode. Now, only do this if you really mean it. For me, my team always shares episodes that we're on, but we also link to it from our website. So the way I say this is I say, hey, I'd love to link to the episode if we do this together from my website, and also we'll share it on social media. Now the host is like, oh, cool, this person's actually going to help me out a little bit. And then the last thing I always say, and this is like kind of the opposite of sales, but make it easy to say no. And we talked about this early on, like why it's important to be okay with getting rejected, but I want to make it easy for people to say no. So I end with saying, hey, and if you're not interested, no worries at all. I only want to help. I only want to be there if I can be a good fit and actually help. Right. And I'll word it that way. Now I gave them permission to respond. Because when you do these first four steps, I found if you don't make it easy to say no, some will just ignore it because they're like, oh man, this Alex guy put so much in this. I don't want to break his heart, right? So they just kind of step back. But anyway, the point there, once again, is to make sure that you just make it easy so you can keep that dialogue going and help them out. So again, that's lead with value, make a meaningful request, offer credibility, mention that you'll share the episode, and make it easy to say no. Those five steps, when you do that outreach on Podmatch, I find that it works exceptionally well. It's worked really good for me.
I love this, Alex. And I really love the way you've put in all your eggs in the basket. But then more than that, I think you've made such a good basket. And that basket right now, I'm using it on a regular basis. How long do you recommend I spend time on a weekly basis at least?
So for me, I check it every day and I do a lot of responding and keep conversations going and stuff like that. But a lot of people, they'll check it twice a week. It's commonly, I don't know why, but Monday, Thursday. And some people just set calendar reminders. And that's why I have a daily reminder. Right. But I think even if you're checking once or twice a week, you're probably doing pretty good. Unless you're saying, hey, I need to like sprint. Like if someone listening is a new author about to launch a new product or service, you need to check it probably multiple times per day so you can get that momentum up. It just depends on what you're looking for. For me, every day is the right cadence. There's people who probably check it every other week. Like if all they're looking for is one podcast a month to be on or one guest a month, then you can check it way less. But again, it depends on what you're looking to get out of it. And really only you will know your momentum based on how you're able to do this. For me, this pitch I talked about, it takes me about 45 minutes because again, I listen to episodes and stuff like that. So I'm checking every day. So I probably spend a total of 45 minutes a day if I'm going to be pitching and stuff like that. So it takes a little bit of time. But if I did all that in one single day, I'd be I'd be spending a whole day on it. I'd rather just get a little bit every day and kind of keep that momentum up.
Love what you're doing. And thank you for taking the time to share some really good tips with my listeners. Where can people go to find out more about you, Alex, and connect with you, maybe follow you, or maybe have a conversation with you, pitch you maybe?
Yeah, right. Well, first off, I know that if people are interested in Podmatch specifically, Karthik, they need to use the link that you have. So you'll have to drop it in the show notes or something like that, because that's the way they can get the most out of it at the most affordable rate. Everything I do is at podpros.com. So podpros.com, you can find a link to everything we're part of. I'm really accessible. So you can find me, you can contact me there. And I look forward to having conversations with anybody if I'm able to help them out. So, but Karthik, thank you again for having me. I recommend sticking with the launch plan. You are crushing it with this and I really respect it.
This has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time today and all the best with Pod Pros and of course Pod Match.
Thanks again, I appreciate it.
And that was Alex Sanfilippo from podpros.com. I really hope you enjoyed this conversation. More importantly, I really hope you found some really useful nuggets of wisdom about how you can make your podcast guesting more effective. You can find everything that Alex shared in the Launch Plan Workbook. I've broken them down for you, so make sure you download the Launch Plan Workbook. You know where to do it. Just head over to designyourthinking.com/launch and subscribe to the show with your email. And before wrapping things up, I want to quickly let you know about the 90-day marketing plan. If you don't have a marketing plan for your business, you are at risk. We created the 90-day marketing plan to help you tighten four key areas of a business. So go to designyourthinking.com/plan to get a copy or take the quiz on the same page so you can get a customized version of the plan for your business. Let me know what you think of this podcast. If you are listening to this podcast right now on a device, please follow the podcast. If you are listening to this podcast right now on an Apple device, I request you to go and leave us a review and let us know what you thought about this episode. Did you like it? Let us know why you like this episode, and your rating and review will mean a lot for us. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next week. Cheers and be well, my friend.